He knows who he is. He knows he's coming for a bride. He knows he's coming to reconcile mankind with God the Father and with himself. And he wasn't going to hold back this time. He was going to come himself and get his children back. And some of this teaching that he had to lay down his deity, it's not true. I don't believe it's true. I believe every miracle he did it as God. How else do you do a miracle, you guys? You only do a miracle through the power of God, unless you have some perverted witchcraft power. That's a perversion of something that God created. See, maybe that's the angels got the perverted power because they have power in heaven. What is wrong with him doing it as God? Nothing, if you get the revelation of what it's really about. Christ in you is the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ. Oh, wait a minute. So I get to do miracles, but I do it through Christ, through the divine nature of God in me when God came to live in me. So of course Jesus did his miracles as God. Is there scriptures to say he didn't? Well, asking the pastor people. Because I know this has been preached wrong forever. Maybe not forever, for a long time. I'm sure the early church didn't preach it wrong. That began the puffing up man in this. Because they couldn't get the revelation after the dark ages that, wait a minute, I'm going to be joined with God. I'm going to be one with God. It's not my being one with God that causes me, the me part of me, to do anything supernatural. It's the me part of me surrendering to God in me that allows the God in me to flow out of me in a powerful way and people see Christ. What's wrong with that? There are whole books written out there about how Jesus did everything he did as a man to show us that we could do that. He did not. He did everything as God to surprise us with a revelation so big the early church couldn't even get it. Even the disciples couldn't get it. It wasn't really until Pentecost that they really got it. That the same God, by his Spirit, was going to come and live in us. That was greater than anything Adam ever had. That was great. This kicked the devil in the teeth. God didn't just come back and win us from the devil. He came back and pulled one over Satan that Satan will never get over. Amen. And the only way Satan can keep us from revealing Christ right now is to keep us in these lies of trying to keep us alive and not surrendered so that he can try to use the power and the anointing that's inside of each of us for his nasty, stinking purposes. And the only way we'd even want to go for that is if we're still hurt, if we're still wounded, or if we're so prideful. And if we really like to twist the scriptures. I can do all things through who strengthens me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's very clear in the scriptures. It's not real difficult. Wait a minute. I have to die to self. I have to lay down self. I have to say self. You're wonderfully made. You're made in the image of God. He gave you good stuff for his glory and his purposes. But to have that purpose and that glory revealed on the earth, I have to surrender using these gifts and talents and the things God's given me, even the revelations and the knowledge. I have to quit using that for my own selfish reasons. And I have to surrender it to God and trust him to do wonderful things for his glory while I just look really good. But if I begin to think that it's me, I've crossed the line into pride that the Bible says can lead to destruction. What does the devil want to do with us once we become anointed? He wants to set us up for pride because he knows the only way to get to them now is to cause them to touch God's glory and open the door for destruction. And we need to pray for each other in these last days, just like that prophecy we've been reading on the radio all week. And it's on our website now. And we've been teaching here because this is really powerful stuff, you guys. Do you know how freeing it is to know I don't have to do anything but just surrender to this awesome God? Do you know how wonderful it is that I don't have to prove anything to anybody and I can't? Yay! You just need to know the freedom of trusting God. Now, if you still like being the Savior, now one of the indicators where you think you're Savior, whether you want to admit this or not, here's to the degree you can tell if you've got a Savior complex. You worry. Where's this scripture about worrying? The one that says don't do it. Okay, Matthew 6. And you got to look at the whole thing. I won't go into all this. We have it taught somewhere. But the first part of Matthew 6 here really talks about, the prayer, praying to God and getting forgiven and forgiving men and these kind of things, very powerful. It talks about not doing your spiritual things to be seen, to show off, help you not get a religious spirit by thinking what you're doing is impressing God if you're doing it before people to be seen. But then if you go on up to verse 19, do not treasure up for your treasures on the earth where moth and rust cause to perish, where thieves dig through and steal. But treasure up for your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust cause to perish and where thieves do not dig through and steal. Isn't it nice to know that when you get to heaven, you're not going to get ransacked or anything broken into? For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. You need to start looking at where is your treasure. What do you think about the most? Where is it that you really see yourself being? Is it about heaven? Are you more heavenly minded than worldly minded? And really start to see, where's your treasure? What do you talk about the most? What is your focus when you read the Bible? What's the focus of your life? If the focus is God make me rich, believe it or not, your treasure's still down here. You know, and only God can show you these things and deal with it. The lamp of the body is the eye. Then if your eye is sound, all your body is light. That has to do with getting the logs out. If you have logs in your eyes, you don't see things right, your eye's not sound. So your light isn't correct. And that's the thing that can lead you into error, lead you into believing lies. But if your eye is sound, your whole body is light. But if your eye is evil, all your body is dark. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? That's the religious spirit. That's where people who don't deal with their issues and take on being real spiritual to try to fit in, to try to have a place, to try to have an identity. That's the scripture thrown in there to say, look, the treasures are in the wrong place. They're going after spiritual gifts. They're going after being spiritual. They're in the church for the wrong reason. And the light in them is darkness. It's a counterfeit anointing. It's an anointing that sounds, it says hallelujah, right? It can even shake, it can jerk, it can fall down, it can act all puffed up. But the heart is wrong because their spirituality is to be seen by men so that they can feel better about themselves. And we'd like to see them set free because we are really good at getting people free from that. 24, no one, does that include you? Yes. Is able to serve two lords, for either he will hate the one or he will love the other, or he will cleave to the one and he will despise the other. You are not able to serve God and wealth. I really believe that most of us struggle with serving wealth and serving God. And I believe this is all put in here about religious spirits and wrong motives, because truthfully, if you begin to let God deal with your trying to take care of self with wealth, and you let God purge you there and take care of you there, and you begin to trust him, you will be amazed how free you will be when you quit worrying. And he talks about worry right after this, which means that most of our worrying, not all of it, but it's probably in the area of trying to take care of self financially. But it could also be anything else in your life that's falling apart you're trying to hold together. Because of this, because of what? Because you cannot serve two lords. You have to hate one and love the other and cleave to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Because of this, I say to you, do not be anxious for your soul, which is worry. What you eat, what you drink, nor for your body, what you put on it, is not the soul more than food and the body more than clothing? Observe the birds of the heaven, that they do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into garners, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Do you not rather excel them? In other words, hey, you're made in the image of God. You excel the birds. He's going to take care of you. But who of you, by being anxious, is able to add one cubit onto his stature? Karen, you will not get taller, even though you had the record for worrying. Okay. Didn't work for you. It might have stunted your growth there. Karen would be 7'10" right now if this scripture weren't true, according to her own confession. What are you saying? Look, you cannot even add an inch of 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 an inch to your height with all your thinking about it. It's useless is what he's saying. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as one of these. If God so enrobes the grass of the field, which is today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, will he not much rather take care of you, little faiths? Then do not be anxious, saying, what may we eat? What may we drink? What may we clothe us? For after all these things the nations seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Then do not be anxious for tomorrow, for the morrow will be anxious of itself. Sufficient to each day is its own trouble. All right, what God is saying is, hey, this is a rough life, you're going to be here. And every day there's going to be something new that you could be anxious for and something you could worry about. But don't do it. Now, where's the scripture where it says to bring all things before him? Philippians 4:6. Now, let's go there, because there he tells you not to be anxious. Let's see what we're supposed to do. Philippians 4:6. First of all, the first thing that tells you you're supposed to do, get your heart right. You are not seeing God as God if you are anxious. If you're worried about stuff, if you're always wondering how to fix everything, you have to first see that you have a problem in your heart. And this is really good, because he put that scripture right there where he's talking about your spiritual activities, such as your prayers, your fasting, your giving. He's also putting a warning there that if you pray, fast, and give, and you don't deal with this area of worry, because where you're worried, you're being the savior, your prayers and all are not going to have much impact. So some of you are saying, why haven't my prayers been answered? And God is showing you, because you're still worried and trying to take care of self and everything. So you want to see how much you want to get rid of this. Ugh. Okay, Philippians where? 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Okay. Go up to 5 first. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He just throws that in there. Look. Be rejoicing, have a great time, enjoy God, enjoy your salvation. And then he says, let your reasonableness be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. What is your say besides reasonableness? It's a big word. Gentleness, forbearance, moderation. You know what? I really like reasonableness. This is literal, so that's why I like this Bible. Because think about it, he's talking about your mind. What do you do in your mind? You reason. Now God, we have all teaching on reasoning. You can reason with God, you can't question God. Okay? When you question him, you're trying to be his authority. That's not a good thing. But when you reason with him, you're really trying to learn his ways. So you say, Lord, I really want to understand this. Can we talk about this? And we need that as a good parenting too. If your child wants to reason with you and really understand where you're coming from, you need to allow that. But if your child is questioning your authority and trying to undermine your authority, then you don't play the game with it. Jesus could always tell when they questioned him, if they were really questioning him, if they were trying to reason with him, or if they were trying to come against his authority. When they were trying to come against his authority, he never talked. He just got around it. But when they truly wanted to know, he always told them what they could handle. Isn't that cool? So your reasonableness, your reasoning, your thinking, your thought patterns, what's going on in your head, it's okay to let it be known to all men. The Lord is near. Talk about it, share about it. But be anxious about nothing. Okay? Be reasonable. Hang in there. Work things out. Talk to people about it. But don't let anxiety get in there. Anxious is doubting that God can handle it. Anxious is trying to figure it out yourself. Anxious has the hopelessness to it, the confusion to it. I don't know how this is going to work out. You're not supposed to be worrying about how it's going to work out. That's God's part. You're just to stay in right standing with God. You're just to seek him with all your heart, let the Holy Spirit deal with the issues, and do the things he tells you to do in the Word. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything. He tells you now, okay, when anxiety comes, when the thought of worry hits your brain chamber, okay, when that little sucker jumps in there, a lot of times he tries to do it at night. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're thinking about something, you're like, why am I thinking about this? Okay, when you wake up with a thought of worry, the first thing you do is stop worrying. Don't feed that and make it bigger. Well, how do I do that? You just do it. Do it with thanksgiving. He's going to tell you in a minute. He says, don't do that. Stop. Be anxious about nothing. I don't care what it is. Because Laurie was thinking, yeah, but this is all about food and clothing, and I'm not worrying about that, and I'm not trying to control that. I'm talking about my daughter's well-being. Be anxious for nothing. Tell Laurie, I got her covered. But in everything. But in what? Everything. Does that leave anything out? No. Is there anything that you have permission to worry about? No. Is there anything that you have permission from God to worry about? No. Whew. Is there anything that you have permission from God to worry about? Like, I want you to see something. He's already told you out of his own mouth in Matthew that when you worry, it adds up to nothing. Okay, he pointed out real clear. You can't even get an extra piece of hair on your head. It actually can make some fall out according to doctors, but you can't put any back up there. You can't get any taller. Your worrying does what? A little bit? Nothing. Why are you wasting your time doing something that does nothing? It does nothing. It doesn't calm you. It doesn't help solve the problem. It doesn't work things out. It doesn't make you care more. It does. All right. You have to stop yourself. This is really hard when you're in a pattern of worrying. Now, when I was talking about this to Karen, and we were talking about this, it was like, you know what worry is? Worry is, you're the Savior, so you're trying to pray to yourself and get an answer on how to fix everything. And yourself is not God and does not have the answer. Self does not have the answer. Worry is prayer to self, which makes you God. So that's why he says, do not do it. Don't. It's really hard. You know what? You just don't. But I can't. Yes, you can stop it. And when you don't stop it, it means you're not asking God for grace to stop it, which means you're feeding it, which makes it worse. Some only come out by fasting and prayer. Some of you are just going to have to stop worrying.